It's just gone 9:45 on the last BH before Christmas, guest edited by Sir Roger Moore. So let's talk about the Nobel Prize, which was cast in shadow this week, but the title of the BH Cultural Figure of the Year shines on unaffected. Our winner has been a Time Lord, a Doubting Prince, and most recently, under the surgeon's knife to fix a prolapsed disc. Before he got the gyp, he attended an awards ceremony hosted by Nigel Wrench.
Here with David Tennant. Welcome to Broadcasting House.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here.
So, Broadcasting House Cultural Figure of the Year. Congratulations.
God bless Broadcasting House for bestowing on me this. What do I get? Do I get a medal?
You get an award, and I've brought it along.
Actually,
here it is.
You've actually just handed me a padded envelope. Is there something in this? Can I open it?
There is, yes. It's the award for Broadcasting House Cultural Figure of the Year.
It's a honey spoon.
It's the BH honey spoon.
It's the BH honey spoon.
Otherwise only given, as you know, to winners.
Winners of that really complicated competition that I never even understand. With that little soundscape that you play, I've never even got close to getting that. So this, I didn't realise the honey spoon has a little kink in it for hanging on the side of your honey jar.
It is actually
a
honey spoon.
It's more than just a spoon.
And inscribed with the letters BH.
With a Oh, I'm genuinely touched. Thank you very much, BH.
What, for you, is your greatest achievement this year?
Oh, lordy. Oh, I have no idea. Having got through the year, really, I don't know if it's giving too much away to say that we're recording this slightly before the end of the year, so there's still the chance that I won't make it. But, you know, I started the year doing Doctor Who and then went straight into the RSC and we opened Hamlet and then started rehearsing Love's Labour's Lost while Hamlet was playing. There were moments when I thought I was just going to have to put a cold flannel on my head and crawl into a corner. So just having got through it, really, and with these great scripts, to start the year working on Russell T Davies scripts and to finish it working on Shakespeare scripts, I don't think there's a more perfect acting curve there.
Mine honoured lord.
My most dear lord. My excellent good friends. How dost thou, Guildenstern? Rosencrantz, good lads. How do you both?
As the indifferent children of the earth.
Happy, in that we are not over-happy. On fortune's cap, we are not the very button.
Nor the soles of her shoe.
Neither, my lord.
Then you live about her waist, or in the middle of her favours.
Faith, her privates we.
Doctor Who is one of the great roles of British television. Hamlet is one of the greatest roles of the stage, any stage. Mm. Is there something that unites these two roles, these two men?
They're both very bright. They're both free thinkers, I suppose. They both have a dash of anarchy about them. They're both attractive men, aren't they? Their intelligence and their speed of thought.
And they're both in some ways very alone, aren't they?
They're both absolute loners, yes. And they both have a sense of moral purpose to them, I think, which I think drives both of them, actually.
The actor who plays Hamlet defines Hamlet. The actor who plays Doctor Who defines Doctor Who, doesn't he?
To an extent, they're both blank canvases. Doctor Who, certainly, unlike all those other roles that are continually rediscovered on television, I suppose Sherlock Holmes or in the cinema James Bond or Tarzan or something like that, there are a few immutable truths about what those characters need to be. And although that's also the same with the Doctor, he also has to be very different every time. You have to bring something of yourself to him. It's beholden to you, I think, to be different to what went before.
I'm the Doctor. I'm a Time Lord. I'm from the planet Gallifrey in the constellation of Casterbarus. I'm 903 years old, and I'm the man who's going to save your lives and all 6 billion people on the planet below.
Were you always certain that you would do well as Hamlet? Jonathan Miller, the theatre director, had a blast at celebrity on stage, didn't he, before you took to the stage at Stratford-upon-Avon. When he heard you had the part, he dismissed you as the man from Doctor Who.
He did, rather disappointingly, yes, because I've always been rather a Jonathan Miller fan, so to suddenly be slagged off by somebody you've never met but always rather liked is a bit crushing. But
crushing?
It was a little bit crushing, just thinking, oh, that's a shame. Because aren't you famous for doing a sketch show? But anyway, if there is a difference between high art and low art, I think that's rather disappointing. Why should there be this sense of snobbery that we seem to indulge in? I'm presuming his implication is that Doctor Who is low art and that Hamlet is high art and that never the twain should meet. I think that's a shame to define things like that. I also don't think it's true. The quality of the writing on Doctor Who is such that it elevates it above the merely crassly popular. The scripts that we get to work on are often truly beautiful, actually, as indeed is Hamlet. It has been noted before.
Truly beautiful?
I do think so, yeah. I think the writing that Russell and people who work with him, you know, they yes, it's an action-adventure show and all that, and it does all that. It ticks all those boxes very robustly. But it's also about relationships and it's about the human condition, even if we are talking about a Time Lord from Gallifrey.
Almost every species in the universe has an irrational fear of the dark, but they're wrong. Because it's not irrational. It's Vashta Narada.
What's Vashta Narada?
It's what's in the dark. It's what's always in the dark.
Were you nervous the press night, the first real opening night of Hamlet in Stratford-on-Avon? Or did you know that you'd do well?
I was about as terrified as I've ever been in my life, yeah. I mean, doing a role like that is scary anyway, because it comes with so much expectation, so much history. And there was a level of attention which I perhaps naively wasn't expecting. I didn't realise that people would be so surprised, I suppose, that I was doing it. For me, most of the work I've done has been a show at the RSC or something at the Dalmore Warehouse, but I guess most people know me from doing something on TV. So there was this sense that it was unexpected that I was doing Hamlet at all, and therefore it seemed to attract this level of attention, which did make it all the more terrifying. I think when the News 24 truck rolled up outside the theatre on press night, I suddenly realised that if this was a disaster, it was going to be reported round the world as such quite swiftly.
What a piece of work is a man. How noble in reason. How infinite in faculty, in form and moving, how express and admirable, in action, how like an angel, in apprehension, how like a god. The beauty of the world, the paragon of animals, and yet to me, what is this quintessence of dust?
What's your favourite line?
Wow, that literally changes night by night. Some nights it's the odd ones, like, this is munching malico, it means mischief, just because it's alliterative and fun to say. But then other nights it's, there's a special providence in the fall of a sparrow. I mean, there's all sorts of things. Each night it presents itself to you in ways that you really hadn't expected it to.
When we spoke to Simon Russell Beale about Hamlet just before you went on stage.
I heard it. No, I was driving back to Stratford that day, I think, and suddenly it came on the radio, and it was very, very close to us opening. Just another thing that increased my terror factor. So bless you, Broadcasting House. Thank you for cranking that up.
Because Simon Russell Beale said that speech is the heart of the play when Hamlet says, let be.
Right, yes. If it were done when 'tis done, that were to well, it were done quickly. Different play, but the same sort of thing. I suppose so, yes.
The Doctor Who Christmas special just coming up to look forward to. Is it, what, four more specials next year and goodbye to the TARDIS?
One special at Christmas and then another four to come next year, yeah, and that'll be my finale.
I would ask you who the next Doctor Who you think it's going to be, but I won't unless you want to tell us here on Broadcasting House.
I'll tell you when you've switched the tape recorder off. How's that? No, I don't know. I genuinely don't know, and I'll probably be the last person to find out as well.
But say amongst the great actors of the past, no longer living. Would you prefer to play Doctor
the
Who?
The best dead Doctor. That's a tricky question. It's a very difficult part to cast because it sort of can be anything.
Olivier, since you've both done Hamlet?
I'm sure Olivier would do something extraordinary with it, yes. But, you know, so would Cary Grant and so would Charles Laughton. It literally can be anything. So I don't envy the new production team as they ferret around to find somebody.
We've been speaking about Hamlet and Doctor Who and how they're two great roles in very different media and very different times in British performance. Mm. A third role to make it up might be James Bond. Is that the one that attracts now?
I don't think I'm very ideal casting for James Bond. Not after Daniel, who's so tough and gritty and looks so great in a pair of pants. I'd quite like to be a Bond baddie. I think that would be the holy triumvirate for me. Hamlet, Doctor Who and a Bond baddie. So if the Broccolis are listening.
Giving you this honey spoon for Broadcasting House Cultural Figure of the Year, here
yes,
it is.
Yes.
It's left our prize cupboard one prize down, and we wondered if you could contribute something.
What are you after?
Well, we've bought this poster.
I wondered what this tube was. Yes.
Of you in Hamlet.
Right.
And we thought if you signed it.
Not actually of me in Hamlet. As usual in theatre productions, this was taken months before we even started rehearsals. So it bears no relation to the actual production. But it's a very nice photograph.
It's a photograph of you.
I'm standing on a rock looking moody, yes.
It's clouds.
Exactly.
Well, looking whimsical.
Is that whimsical? That's my pensive look. That's look 6B.
We thought if you signed it, it might just begin to replace the BH Honey Spoon as a prize.
What is the competition going to be?
You'll win it in a standard BH competition.
Okay, well, one of those weird sort of soundscapes that you do.
Yes.
Right, well, good luck. Anyone who can figure them out deserves this. Do you have a pen?
Here we go, black marker pen.
Shall I put congratulations on it?
I think the wording's up to you.
I'm going to say congratulations. And that stops you being able to bung it on eBay once I've gone. There you go. I've signed it.
David Tennant, Broadcasting House, Cultural Figure of the Year. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed.